Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts, vastly different. On today's program, a look at the exciting things taking place currently and throughout the year at the Texas Tech University School of Theater and Dance. I hope you can stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're in the office of Dr. Mark Charney, who is the director of the Texas Tech University School of Theater and Dance. Dr. Charney, thanks for letting us come to your office and be with you today. Thanks for taking the time to see us.
Hey, thanks so much for asking me to speak, Clint.
Absolutely. This is an absolutely unique season for you and for this school. The venue that you use is not available. And so I'm fascinated, as I'm sure our listeners are, to find out exactly how you're going to move forward. And for people who don't know, maybe move to Lubbock or just coming here or maybe don't stay on top of it, give us the background. Tell us what's happening and what you're going to do this year.
Absolutely. About a year, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we were fortunate enough to have raised the money for phase one of a new building. And the new building's going up right next door. To that end, we found out we were going to lose our lab space, our smaller theater space. It only seats right now 25. Anything more than 25 is in trouble. And that our theater itself was going to be used more as a shop and couldn't have a number of guests in it because of the building that's going on next door. Before I came here, there was a fire at some point, and what the theater did was look for theater-like spaces. So we thought about going to Lubbock Community Theater. We started by going to Luca and just planning our season accordingly. But those of us who work in the profession do understand that our students aren't going to be fortunate enough when they get out of school to work in theaters with big budgets and, you know, lights and sound equipment. You know, in Chicago, they work in storefronts. At the Provincetown Tennessee Williams Festival that we go to every year, they work in found spaces and site-specific spaces. So I remember going home and telling my wife, I said, why don't we just forego the idea of a theater altogether? We often say that theater exists without the conventional spaces. Theater can happen anywhere. So let's put our money where our mouth is and let's just do an entire season of either site-specific or found space theater. Now the difference is, site-specific is finding exactly the site that the play calls for, but just in real life. Found spaces are spaces that facilitate the play, but may not be the exact space for it. So she said, well, it's going to be hard. I guess broach it with a faculty. And of course, we're going to have our theater space back in the spring. But if you're going to commit to something, commit to it. So I said, what about a year of working in the community? And the faculty, as they always are, adventuresome, sort of ready to go, said, let's do it. And so we're doing an entire season, not in conventional spaces. Some of it's going to require patrons to go to spaces they never thought they'd find theater, like the parking lot of a Nissan dealership. Other spaces are theatrical in nature, like the Equestrian Center, which does have seats, but we're not using them. You know, still the others are places that people go, like the Ranching and Heritage Center or the Luca Museum, but not where you'd expect theater. And so I think, Clint, we're excited because one thing, I think we're proving the fact that theater can exist anywhere. We're also proving to our students how flexible they have to be in terms of moving into spaces. And, you know, finally, we're partnering with community organizations that we didn't imagine partnering with, but we're really committed to Lubbock as our campus, and this just seems to further that idea.
I love the idea of how you make it work. You know, in the face of progress, you found a way to make it work. I
think
love
it's
that.
Exciting.
That's really great. How did that affect your choice of productions and pieces?
Well, it had to, right? Because we had to look at what Lubbock offered, and then we had to think of plays that could exist within the realm of that place. I remember going to the museum, the Texas Tech Museum, and looking at that wading pool out there and thinking maybe Metamorphosis outside, because it needs a pool, but we looked at the traffic and what was going by, and we thought the sound would be possibly too difficult, maybe being outside, and maybe the health of the water in that particular pool, right? But we sort of explored a bunch of spaces. We put all the spaces that we could think of, and then we started cross-listing them with plays. And, you know, the example I used that came to mind first is Hands on a Hard Body, which is based on a documentary of a real competition in Texas where, I can't remember the small town, but in a small town in Texas, at a Nissan dealership, they gave away a truck to somebody who could hold their hands on it the longest. So it reminds you of those old dance competitions, and they shoot horses, don't they, where you dance until you drop. Well, essentially, just so one hand was always on the truck, 7 days later, you got the truck. But you couldn't sit down. You had to hold your hand on the truck. And then if you moved one hand, you had to put the other one there. So we thought, God, let's do this at a Nissan dealership. And we went to see Randy Christians, and he worked with McGavick. And the McGavick folks were excited about it. And so we're renting a tent and drilling holes in their parking lot and using their electricity, and they're moving all their cars for a while to let us do the Hands on a Hard Body competition in the parking lot of a Nissan dealership. So that's very site specific. That's the example I used. Elephant's Graveyard, which is the true story of an elephant that was hung until it died in Irwin, Tennessee. During a circus, an elephant went a bit rogue and killed someone. It got spooked, and the town demanded vengeance. And long story short, they ended up hanging the elephant several times until they finally killed it. It's a bizarre act of cruelty. We thought about different places, and when we went to the Equestrian Center, it has just a big circus atmosphere, especially where the horses sort of run. So we're going to be using where the horses sort of trot every day. We're going to be using that area, and audience is going to be sitting on, well, not on the dirt, but on chairs on the dirt in the middle of the Equestrian Center. And those two seemed really site specific. We looked at St. John's Church and doing a play called The Christians, but the timing didn't work out. It was a perfect venue. St. John's was absolutely lovely, but that one didn't work. Those are site specific. Our first show of the season is an original play by Michelle Benson called A Beauty Queens and Childhood Dreams, or vice versa, of Childhood Dreams and Beauty Queens. And it's done at the Ice House in Luca, which is a place where theater happens, but we're taking out the idea of a stage and we're making it sort of a 30s cabaret style sit at table thing. So it's more of a found space, but that's the way it happened. And I got to tell you, Corey Norman, who's our marketing director and our company manager, and I went around, and we didn't find one place we talked to resistant of our working there. We didn't find one place that didn't welcome and give us some sort of reduced price for working with them. I love Lubbock, but it sort of proved what I tell. Everybody was friendly. Everybody was excited to make art happen in unconventional spaces. It was great, and another reason I think I'm going to never move from Lubbock.
Well, it sounds like you found a way to really sort of invest back into the community and build ties into the community.
I think so.
You know, we're such a big town and gown community anyway, but you really found a way to again, make this work.
Well, you know, I'm hoping so. Now that we're in the reality of it, you know, we have a show going up in 2 weeks, Hands on a Hard Body. You know, you go to the space, you look at what you're going to have to do with sound. You look at how cold that may be, even though it's enclosed in like November, December. You look at whether or not you're going to have to use risers for people to see and where we may borrow those risers. And you're looking at a set that has to be moved every night so the people who work at the Equestrian Center can still ride their horses because they can't lose all the money that they would lose to let us do that. You look at 1 week of rehearsal in the space before we open, so rehearsals take place elsewhere. You look at how our students are going to vocally meet the challenges. We're trying hard to let the space be the design, but sometimes you're just going to have a more sophisticated lighting board that you're still going to have to put in a space that doesn't have a grid or an amplification of sound. We're going to have to amplify the sound in Hands on a Hard Body because there's a highway nearby, and there's you can't really sing and be heard over the ambient noises. But we're pretty excited. You know, we're Hands on a Hard Body is written by Doug Wright, who won the Pulitzer Prize for I Am My Own Wife, wrote the book for The Little Mermaid, and recently War Paint on Broadway. He's coming in for the opening of Hands on a Hard Body. We hope that the author of Passing, which is going to take place in the museum, not the TTU Museum, but the Luca Museum, will come in. And of course, the author of our first play is one of our students. And if we can get George Brandt, who wrote Elephant's Graveyard, we'll have all the authors other plays coming in as well to see what we're doing using their plays in, you know, less than conventional spaces.
Have you cast all of the shows?
You know, we did. For the first time, we cast the entire year instead of semester by semester. Now, not Ropes, not our smaller plays, not our plays that align with the Center for Autism. Those are still open, but we cast the whole thing. We had 108 people audition.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot. All the direction, all the production, that's already in place.
It's almost all in place. Every now and then you don't know the entire crew. I think we're still missing a stage manager. But we have all the dramaturgs in place. All the designers are set. And, I think we've been approaching it with more excitement than trepidation. Yeah. Our design folks always carry such a... I have this, crazy idea, and our design folks always have to realize it. And they come in and often tell me the reality of what we can do and how expensive it's going to be to rent a van and what it means to move the set for Elephant's Graveyard every night, put it away, and then bring it out. And if we do rent the risers or borrow the risers, how much manpower we need to get the risers there. So we're in the reality part of it right now. But, I don't think, Clint, it can go wrong. I mean, I think that a venue may be less appealing, so you're risking. But in terms of educational theater, our students are going to learn something they've never learned. And I think our audiences are going to see something they don't expect. So while I think we'll miss the sophistication of an incredibly detailed set design or lighting that just knocks your socks off, I'm hoping the environment itself will help, lead to the success of the season.
And as you said, we'll help kids understand the reality of what they will face once they graduate and go out on their own.
I think, what could be better than teaching them that theater doesn't depend on expensive spaces or equipment? I mean, it was often done outdoors. It was often done in places where you didn't expect theater. When I used to work at Clemson, we got into Susan Laurie Park's 365 days, 365 plays. If you don't know that, she wrote a play every day. A short play every day for a year. And the short plays were very liberal, very in your face. And you could compete to have a week of that. And as a director, I got a week of her plays. And one of her mandates was, these must go up in places where theater isn't welcome. And so we found ourselves in places where we were asked to leave. And that was somewhat on purpose. We found ourselves really taking some risk, and it was good for the students. That got filmed and put in the Lincoln Center that first year of that play. So we'll see. I think there's a long history of this. I think other universities may do it once a year, every 10 years. But the whole season, I don't know that there's another theater that's thought of doing the whole season, and that appeals to us too.
Well, it's very exciting. Tell us a little bit about the School of Theater and Dance. Do you have new faculty this year that are coming in?
We do. We have a killer costume designer named Mallory Pruka, who comes to us from California, and actually not only does the most beautiful renderings I've ever seen, but police composites all around the country, and so many levels and layers to the beautiful work she does in costuming. We have 3 visiting assistant professors. We have one of our graduates, MFA in design, Ross Fleming, went and had a very successful career, has a very successful career in El Paso. But he wanted to take a year's development leave, come back here and sort of facilitate this particular project. So he's here for a year. We have a visiting assistant professor of dramaturgy, Sarah Johnson. She comes to us from Denver, Colorado, and she's helping us build a dramaturgy program, which is sort of research-based and helps a lot with understanding the world in which the play lives, how to perform outreach, the literacy of the project. And her specialist has to do with Japanese theater, so she's teaching a dramaturgy course in Japanese theater. And we have Annie Nichols Burge, or Annie Burge Nichols, who works in Moonlight musicals very often as a year-long person in musical theater. So all four of those are new this year. We're growing. When I came 6 years ago, we had 21 graduate students on assistantship, and now we have over 50. So we're excited about that, who get fellowships or assistantships and fellowships. And we are really proud that we're partnering with the Academy of Performing Arts in Hong Kong, where 8 students came to join us for our summer program, Wild Wind, this year. And the associate dean and a movement professor also came and taught. And our Marfa Intensive, which is our devised theater program, we brought in 2 young women from Turkey. And we're about to get a memo of agreement with Bilkent University in Turkey. And we're also exploring Shanghai. We're taking play to the Middle Eastern Festival, the 2nd International Middle Eastern Festival, right outside of Dubai in February. And we're still partnering with Burkhart Center, working with students in the spectrum, creating a play every semester. And this year it's The Good Doctor by Neil Simon, so this fall. So we're growing, we're working hard, but I think everybody likes our work. Good place to be.
As always, it sounds like you're right in the thick of it. So that's amazing. You do such amazing work here.
Well, I think the faculty and staff work harder than anybody I've ever been around, but I think we sort of have this idea of how joyful it is to be working in the arts. I think you guys at NPR know how important it is right now for NPR to exist and for art to really be pushed, I think. In these times of transition, it's more important than ever. So I'm very pleased that we have so many students and faculty and staff willing to spend the time to play with theater and dance in unconventional ways.
For folks who are really interested to stay on top of what's going on, how can they get more information about the School of Theater and Dance and your offerings?
If you look up Theater and Dance Texas Tech, it'll take you right to our website. Our season subscription is there. Corey Norman is our director of marketing. He's at corey.norman@ttu.edu. He's directly working with our subscriptions. You can call the box office, and I don't have that number off the top of my head, but if you call the box office, that's the easiest way. There is a variety of subscription packets this year. We have a 4-show, a 6-show, and a 9-show season because of how different it is. And we're going to be transitioning from a lab season and theater season, a big theater season, into just one season as we move into the new theater, because the Black Box is going to be as exciting a place to see theater as the Old Majan. And so I think we're going to be really changing the way that we do it. But look online. Subscriptions are really easy online. Corey has put together a system that walks you through how to order. But if there's any confusion, calling the box office would be the best way. Because the box office is open from 1 to 5 every day, but people have trouble driving on campus and not getting tickets. And, you know, that's always a pain. So I think I'd call or do it online.
All right. Sounds great. Dr. Mark Charney, who is the director of the School and Theater of Dance here at Texas Tech University. Thanks for your time. Love to talk to you.
Clint, thanks for you as well. And all of you guys at NPR, we care so deeply about what you're doing, and we're very thankful to you.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.